Swelling on, breaking off, breaking eyes. Still want the act, not the ghost.
Hello and welcome back to the DCUK podcast. This is season 5, episode 18. And as always, I'm your host, James Graham. We've got an awesome show lined up for you guys. So let's crack on. We've got guest DC Who. And we're going to talk about previews for the rest of the season because we're coming up to the running now, hence the podcast name for this week. The Super 6 remaining. But as you may have already heard, but before we do, let's just take a moment to talk about the show's sponsor.
WeAreWild.com. If you're like me and want to do whatever it is you can to help the environment, there is one thing, and it will help you smell great too. Wild is the right choice for natural deodorants, as it actually works. I've always struggled with deodorants, but this one has left me feeling fresh, under the pits, and smelling good. The case is a fully sustainable design made out of aluminium. It's a case for life, and the refills are both that biodegradable and recyclable. Also, when you go to order, you can customize it to your needs. Choose your perfect case and scent combinations. My favorite scent being fresh cotton and sea salt. It's also eco-friendly and with all natural ingredients, as well as being vegan and cruelty-free. So what are you waiting for? Go wild today with special discount 40% off your first order for my UK listeners when you use the code DC United Kingdom at checkout. And for my global listeners, save 25%. Go to wearewild.com and use DC United Kingdom at checkout. Enjoy. Now, back to the show.
And Stu, please do go buy a thing. Where is it? I actually have it right here. This is the actual deodorant. Literally, just twist the bottom of it. Things comes up. Give yourself a wipe. Job done. And it smells very, very good, actually. I find it very nice. And as mentioned in the ad, I actually do struggle with roll-on deodorants. I have very sensitive skin, so I have to really be very, very picky about which deodorant I use. But these guys, absolutely brilliant. So please do go and buy it. Give it a try. 40% off for UK, 25% off if you're abroad. Guess DC Who. So this guy down here, this little dude, give him a little tickle on the head. He's a former player who was born in Carrizal, Costa Rica. He made 97 appearances across three seasons for the Black and Red. He's also got 6 caps for the Costa Rican team. He started off his career at Belen before moving to Uruguay and then back to Belen again. He moved to Saprissa following them and then made his way stateside. Currently, he is without a club, though. Who is he? That is your little breakdown for guest DC Who. So, former player, born in Costa Rica, made 97 appearances for the Black and Red. He started off his career in Costa Rica, playing for Belen before moved to Uruguay, then back to Costa Rica again. Before DC United, he did play for Saprissa. So get your answers on a postcard, in the comments, wherever you want to tell me. Let me know who you think this week's player is. Let me just take him off the screen. And for those of you who are listening to the show after the fact, you won't see that. Anyway, we're going to have a little bit of news, talking points, and Stu loves a Saprissa reference, Football Manager. Yes, and I'm really looking forward to FM24 when that comes out. Matt saying Joseph Mora. He was one of the Costa Ricans that has played for the Black Red, so you might be onto something there. Yes, the Football Manager 24, looking forward to it. Probably going to do a DC United save. And if you want to see that being streamed on Twitch, let me know. I might actually go ahead and do something like that for once. See if you guys like me watching me play Football Manager. We'll see. So let's play the VT for some news, talking points, and all that good stuff. Right, here we go. So we are down to the final six games of the season. Incredibly important, this one. It's for us to make the playoffs. We've got loads of teams in and around us who are vying for those last couple of places. And I've done a little bit of a dig into this and see what could happen. So first things first, let's go through our fixtures. First up this weekend, we've got Charlotte in Charlotte away in the Queen City. I'll be talking about that in just a moment, a little bit later in the show. We've then got Atlanta United next week, when I was meant to be in DC. But I'm no longer going to be in DC now. I should be going on the flight on Monday, but yeah, that's what happens when you're expecting another child. Yeah, that happened. So another child is on the way, and that means we've got to save the money. And yeah, no longer coming to DC to come and see DC United play. But hey ho. So yeah, Atlanta United next week at home at Audi Field, followed by a weekend game against the Red Bulls at home again. Then we've got Vancouver Whitecaps away, which is thankfully no longer that bad of a trip, considering everything is now chartered in terms of flights. Then we're away to Austin straight after that. So a little bit of a tight turnaround with the two away games, but again, like I said, they are charter flights now, so that's always good. And then our final game of the season before everybody else has finishes their season, which is just bizarre. How can you not have you're never going to have, with 29 teams in the league, you're not going to have everyone playing on the final game of the season, but you'd expect to have 28 teams playing on the final day of the season. And it's just annoying that we're not one of those. So we've got NYCFC as our final game of the season, which is going to be interesting because they're one of those teams that are going to be in and around fighting for that playoff spot. And yes, Stu, tough choice. It really was. No, it wasn't really. Charlotte always comes first. So let me just break it down into the individual teams that are in and around our playoff spots. So we've got two teams above us who I still think we could potentially catch up to. And that includes not having to play in the playing round. So we've still got that opportunity there. And then we've got a few teams below us who are very much in the mix. And we've played more games than other teams as well. So we've got to really have a strong run in for us to actually stay above the playoff line and make it to the postseason, or the pre-postseason, which is not the regular season, but in between the postseason and the regular season with the play-in game. Bonkers. So first up, Nashville. So they're two places above us in seventh place in the league, occupying the final normal playoff spot. They're currently 6 points above us. They do have a game in hand as well, but they are playing four teams who are above them, which is crazy thing. So four of their remaining seven games are playing again teams above them. So they're going to have some very, very tough matches coming up for them. They do tend to draw quite a few of their games. So there is the opportunity for them to drop points. They will need to drop quite a few if they're going to draw, but they might lose a couple of games. That means we could then potentially move up the rankings that way if we start winning consistently, which has been tough for us all year. Then straight above us is Montreal. They are a point ahead of us, and they also have a game in hand. Now, last weekend's game against San Jose, which I will again be talking about very soon, was an incredibly important game. We really should have won that one, and that would have put massive pressure on Montreal. But it isn't what we've got what we have now. They've also got seven remaining fixtures, and five of those come against teams that are actually above them, whether it's in the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference. That's incredibly tough. And when you look at Montreal's record, they've only had two draws out of 27. So that's a lot. That's a hell of a lot. So very, very interesting for them. I think if we win a couple of games, that's going to be very, very interesting, to say the least. Very, very interesting. Because after what Hernan did to DC United, I want us to be above them. This is my Kevin Keegan moment. I would love it if we beat them. I would love it. Then we've got Chicago, who are 2 points behind us. So they're currently sitting in 10th place in the league, in the Eastern Conference. They do have a game in hand on us, though. So if they win that game in hand, that's them above us on that side of things. They are playing Montreal this weekend. So that is big, big game there for everyone involved. They also play three teams that are above us as well. So they're going to have, again, an incredibly tough running. Let's put it that way. Then we've got Charlotte, who are in 11th. That is a, and that's who we're playing this weekend. So massive, massive fixture. We need to be winning this one to really cement that and push potentially Charlotte out of the reckoning and out of the picture. They're currently 3 points behind us, but they do have two games in hand. So that's a big bonus for them. They play three other teams that are above us as well. And they also play Miami twice back-to-back for the last two games of the season, which could be huge. I'm not underestimating this. That could be massive in terms of end of season, playoff, whatever. That's going to be massive. We could end up having to rely on Charlotte to do us a massive favor, depending on how we do in our next six games. Then we've got NYCFC, who I would class as rank outsiders, along with New York Red Bulls as well. They're 4 and 5 points behind us, respectively, but then the Red Bulls do have a game in hand. They also play each other this weekend. So a draw between those two teams this weekend is, for us, what we were after. That's what we would like as a club, I would say, is a draw between them two teams. Then we've also got, as mentioned previously, we've got both teams. We've got NYCFC at the end of the season, and we've got Red Bulls next weekend as well. So massive, massive fixtures for us. NYCFC have also got to play the inform into Miami as well. So that, for them, like I said, that's why I'm considering them rank outsiders. Then we look at Inter Miami, who, since Messi's joined, have just become one of the best teams in the league. They do have two games in hand on us. They are 6 points behind us. But they do also have the Open Cup final to play as well. So they've got even an extra game bunged into there as well. Messi, I was watching a video earlier on before going live with the show, is potentially sitting out with this weekend's game, depending on how well they've trained and if he travels or not. I think they're playing, is it Atlanta this weekend? Schedule. So look, I'm pretty sure it was Atlanta they were talking about, because they were talking about 70,000 people being in attendance for that game. Yeah, Atlanta. At a reasonable time as well, actually. I might watch this one. 10 o'clock UK time. And then you've got the New York Derby at 8:30. This could be a good evening of soccer tomorrow night. Hey, up. Oh, what's the New York Derby, then Atlanta, and then DC. Oh, beautiful. That's what we're talking about. That is what MLS Season Pass is all about. That is what it's all about. Being able to watch soccer from 8:30 in the evening all the way to 3 a.m. That's what we want. That is the kind of day that will be. Just realised we've got England rugby. Probably be watching. I know that's Sunday. I'm talking gibberish. Anyway, back to soccer and DC United. So do I think we can make the playoffs? So do I think we could beat Charlotte? Like I said, we'll talk about that one come to the end, but briefly, yes, I do think we can do it. Atlanta United, recently we've not been playing too great against them, but if we can keep going the way we are, we could potentially pick up a point in this one. I wouldn't be too disappointed with that. Red Bulls, we need to be winning this one. It's as simple as that. Vancouver, we tend to do well against Vancouver, even though it's a long travel. In recent records, we've actually shown that we do pretty decently against them as well. Austin, we've only ever played them once. Who knows? Who knows this one? Austin are a decent team as well, though, so that could be one we get beaten. And then New York City FC, considering their record this year, and it's, how do you feel? I think we could win that one. So that's, I would say 3, 6, 9, 12, possibly 13 points we could pick up by the end of the season. If Cuda Pietro is still fit, Pirani keeps going the way he is, we need Benteke firing as well, like he did against Chicago. Absolutely, we could do this. I hate having that optimism. It kills me when it comes to the end of the season and we don't do it. But that's me all over. And Stu, you're right. We have to beat the Pink Cows. Have to beat the Pink Cows. We can't be letting New Jersey take points. Absolutely. We can't let that happen. So that's my take for the end of the season. So if we can get those extra 13 points, that will put us on 47 for the end of the season. If we look back at previous seasons, 47 points would be good enough for 8th place last year. 2021, 8th place. So it looks like it's 47 points is around the 8th place mark. Now, so that is the play-in game, which would be disappointing for us. But looking at it, that's realistic, I think. So we're looking at a play-in game, depending on how the other teams do. So, yeah, let me know what you think about that. Do you agree with those points? Do you think we can get into the playoffs based on the remaining fixtures, on how the other teams could be doing? There's a lot of permutations here. There's a lot of teams playing each other in and around our section of the table, should we say. I'm excited for the end of the season. I wish we weren't in this position. I wish we were a little bit more comfortable, but this is the bit that makes it exciting. I know we don't have relegation and promotion in America in Major League Soccer, but this is the bit that gets exciting. So we take what we can get. Okay, it's finishing bottom. You just don't get. Look at Toronto. They're not going to have any issues with finishing bottom. It is what it is. They've written off the season. That's it. They move on to next year. They can start planning earlier, which is probably an advantage. Let's put it that way. Cool. I think we can get 10 points. Ooh, Matt, 10 points. Not too far off what I think. I mean, granted, like I said, I'm really optimistic. Always have been. It's very rare for me not to think in a positive manner, think about that silver lining, but 10 points. That would put us on 44, which is going to be a knife edge in terms of if we were to get into the playing game. Again, that would make it very, very exciting. If someone could casually distract Messi off field to hamper Miami's progress, that would be great. Yeah, that would be nice. Or just injure him. You'd heard it here. Right, moving on to new points. So you might have seen in the last couple of home games anyway, that there's been some discontent among fans regarding a certain member of the front office, to the point where there's been signs made and shown in the Chico stand, the lovely, lovely Chico stand. So there's been that person in question is Dave Casper, and there's been a lot of discontent around certain the way the club's been run recently, especially in terms of transfers, dealings, that kind of side of things. And the fact that since Casper's been in charge, the tradition of the club of being champions, winning cups left, right and centre has kind of dissipated, and we've really not won that much since he came in. A US Open Cup. That's about it. And it feels like we've had many changes since then. Obviously, Ben had been in charge of the club for a long, long time. First team head coach. And then we've had changes. We had Hernan. Then, well, Chad came in as interim. Did okay. Then Hernan came in. We all know what happened there. Then Chad came back in. And now we got Wayne. But we've had changes of managers, changes in the backroom team in terms of coaches, changes in player personnel. But the one thing that haven't changed is either the front, the people at the top. When things consistently don't go right, you've changed everything else and it's still not going right. Something needs to change up there. Now, I'm not saying that the owners need to change. As much as I'd love to see loads of money being pumped into the club and we can make some big money signings, that's what we want. We want to see the big players coming in. Obviously, we're never going to get like Lionel Messi. That's never going to happen. But if we could have players of a bigger caliber coming in, don't you know, I'm not. This is no dig at Benteke or Click, but they are on the wrong side of 30. They're not a team, they're not a player you could build a team around. They're here of 2 or 3 years max, and then they'll be gone. They're not a player who's going to be, who's coming up in their early to mid 20s that might be here for 5 or 6 seasons that you can start building a team around, build a philosophy, and make the club into something new and fresh and exciting. It's just not there. We haven't got that right now. So we got to do what we got to do. And there's been too many misses from Dave Casper in terms of signings. So for me, that would be the... I would like to see a change. Now, in the first game that this sign, the sign went up, they were asked to take it down, and they were notified that the people who needed to see it had seen it. Now, if they've seen it, nothing's happened. No comments. Nothing. The silence is deafening, which is frustrating, to say the least. Now, the guys came back in force, and we had multiple signs up in the last home game, and obviously they weren't able to take those down because there's multiple of them, and that's great to see that the fans who are out there on the front line are actually consistently doing it. Now we need to keep that going if we want changes to happen, but it needs to get bigger and bigger, because right now the front office aren't doing anything. They're not saying anything. It's just frustrating. So I would love the club to come out and make a statement about something, just anything about this situation, just so that we know that we're being listened to. That's the main thing. We need to know that we're being listened to. And if we don't, then we get frustrated and things escalate. So we need to keep that going until we get listened to. So yes, there's that. And then on top of that, just to make things a little bit worse, is the Rooney situation as well. So his contract comes to an end at the end of this season. Yes, we've got the option to extend that by a further year, but Rooney's not had any conversations about it for next year. He's obviously, he says what he means and he wears his heart on his sleeve. And that's what I like about him, is he doesn't pull any punches. He calls out when things aren't right. So I like that about him. And it's just frustrating again, because there's nothing being said. There's no conversations. There's no statements. There's nothing. And if you were ghosting the flipping manager, that's poor. That's incredibly poor. Obviously, we can just speculate. And this is all, it's just speculation. But if you are ghosting the manager of the football club, what are you doing? You've got Wayne Rooney, England legend, big name, who can bring players into the club. He's got connections. And you're ghosting him, because now he's been linked to other jobs. He's got his UEFA Pro license, so his options have just become a lot greater. It just seems that the thinking and the thought process behind what's happening, just there doesn't seem to be much. So yeah, I'm getting frustrated by it all. And I can imagine you guys out there are getting frustrated by it all. But we need to let the people know that we're frustrated. Because if they don't, if they're not made aware that things are frustrated, and we're, as fans, we're frustrated and we want to hear something happening or just anything, then it would, we're just continuing down the same path. If you don't complain about it, and if you don't do something about it, sorry, got that wrong. If you don't do something about it, you can't complain about it. And we need to do something about it. So this is my call to you guys out there, is to do some, I can do this podcast, and that's, I'm using my voice in this manner to try and do something and say something about it. But for you guys who are listening to this in America, please do something and make your voices known, that we need something done, because it's just getting frustrating now. So yes, so there's that. But on the good news, let's just have a little look at the comments before we do on good news. Fletcher moving to Swansea seems like a weird move. That wouldn't have happened if the link wasn't there. Yeah, it does a little bit. But he did score on his debut for the Swansea youth team, which is great. I don't understand why he's playing in the Swansea youth team. Is that really any better than staying over here? I don't know. I found that a very, very strange move. I'd rather him playing in the Swansea first team if that was going to be the case. But, you know, anyhow. Then we've got, generally agree on Casper, but not sure who was driving the Benteke and Click signings. In terms of the Benteke one, as far as I'm aware, that was Wayne who drove that one. He had a conversation with Benteke to bring him over, but the Click one, I don't know on that. But you blame him for Eddie Flores. Yeah, can we just forget about Edison Flores, unfortunately? That was, I think we had the opportunity to sign Zilrayan, if I remember rightly. Please do correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure that we had the opportunity there. Zilrayan and Flores were signed at roughly the same sort of time. Similar price tags. Look who turned out the better, because, Flores. Forgetful Flores. Let's just do that. But yes, let's talk about some good stuff then. Kevin Paredes, little legend of a man who was interviewed on this show. We did a live show with Kevin which is fantastic. Please do go check that out. It was a superb show. He was brilliant. Very, very funny. Great character. He made his US men's national team debut. So congratulations to KP for that one. And was involved with an own goal, not against US men's, but for them. And then the announced earlier on today as a recording, the US Soccer Federation is moving from Chicago to Atlanta. I don't know what this means. Obviously, I'm not really that close to the US men's national team from that aspect. But I'd imagine that's a good thing. Yeah. They got a $50 million grant, I think it was, to help with this move. So there's cha-ching, good bit of money in there. So yeah, that's it for this the news and talking points, because that went on for quite some time. So I hope you enjoyed that bit. So let's just roll the VT to move on to the next section. So yeah, match review time. Yes, we played San Jose last week. I know it was a little while ago now, but I wanted to just kind of briefly go over it before we talk about the next lot of things that we've got coming up. So, which is the Charlotte game. So for the San Jose game, a few of the points that I made, which I think were, to me, valid anyway. So it was a game in which we played, I felt, really well, especially going forward. We just had everything apart from a goal. That was it. We created chances, half chances. We were taking shots from outside the box. That just, it felt like things were going well, but we just couldn't get the ball to hit the back of the net. We did once, but then it was ruled for offside. But for Pirani, who I was cheering, loving that. But, you know, it just was disallowed. He was about a few feet offside, half a yard. It was just one of those things. You know, you've got to take it on the chin when it comes to things like that. One of those games which I think, even if we were to play another 90 minutes on top of that, I think the way the game was going, I don't think we would have actually still scored. It's just one of those days where we were just unlucky. We were just knocking and knocking and knocking on that door, but it just wasn't to be for this one. And a good morning, Alex, in Adelaide. How are you doing? Thank you for joining in with the live stream. I felt like, obviously, Teddy starting again, completely the right move. We need to see more of that. I know when we look at the game this weekend against Charlotte, he is questionable because he's got a thigh strain. But yeah, him starting, very much the right thing. He's driving, he goes at the attacker, at the defender, sorry, attacks the ball. Has it, and he's willing to have a go as well, which is awesome. But on top of that, we've actually got to give credit to the San Jose keeper, because he made 8 saves in this game, which is no mean feat. He did very well. Just the shithousery at the end of the game was so frustrating. The amount of times he just got down, feigning injury, this, that, and the other, especially after they had a man sent off. Yeah. Just kind of killed it a little bit for us. But, you know, for a 0-0, it was actually an enjoyable watch. It wasn't one of those games where sometimes I've been sat here watching the game and I'm just sat here and my head's leaning on my hand. I'm struggling to stay awake. My eyes are starting to droop. And I look back and there's been like 5-10 minutes gone past and I've not seen any or heard anything. Then it's just like, okay, this one, there was stuff always happening. We had plenty of shots. We had, in this game, decisions left, right, and center. I have to say, I thought the referee in this one was actually pretty decent. I know. I can hear your shocks and your gasps and your and the fainting out there. I can hear it. But I think it's Tori Panzo. She had a very, very good game. Decisions that she made were very decent. I think the sending off was correct. There was one decision which I was talking about on X, not Twitter anymore. Talking about one of the decisions which I felt like it could have been a yellow card or it could have been a red card. And we were just having a little bit of a debate and we could see both sides. And, you know, it was a refreshing change that the referee had a good game. So, yeah, well done, Tori, on that one. If I see her refereeing in one of our matches again in the future, I won't be disappointed if she was to ref like that again. So, well done. Well done, Tori. Stats-wise for this one, we had 24 shots in total in this game. So, quite a few. To San Jose's 13. So, 37 attempts in total in this one. That's what I mean by entertainment. We had 9 on target to their team. 11 of our shots were from outside the box. So plenty there trying to take opportunities. I know Click tried as well. And he almost had a goal, which was very, very naughty. 11 to 16 fouls. This one where we only picked up a single yellow card to San Jose's 3 alongside their red card as well. San Jose had to make 31 clearances in this game. So it just kind of shows you how attacking we were in this one. And then expected goals, which is just the most frustrating stat in the world, is 2.1 to 0.8. So we really should have won this one. Really, really should have this one. So we had the Pirani goal, which was ruled offside. And then it was Benteke who had a shot or header, I think it was, I can't remember which one, that was cleared off the line as well. So close, but yet so far. So yeah. Can't believe we didn't actually walk away with this one with 3 points. It's a matter of inches and half a yard. It's so close. And we could have been looking at a scoreline. I feel that could have been similar to the game against Chicago. We could have been looking at 3 or 4 nil here if we had that bit of luck going our way. But we didn't. So we need to move on to our next game, which is against Charlotte FC. But first thing that we need to do is to talk about The More You Know. So I've got a little jingle. No VT, just the jingle. The More You Know, Charlotte edition. Oh, it's repeating. Didn't mean to do that. The More You Know, Charlotte edition. So we've got some strange, weird facts and laws with the Charlotte, North Carolina edition. So your first, we've got 4 facts, we've got 4 laws. So 4 facts. Charlotte metropolitan area is the largest in the US that doesn't have a zoo. Now, there's a zoo nearby, about an hour and a half away, but the Charlotte metropolitan area is the largest without a zoo. So if you are a zoo kind of person, don't live in the metropolitan area. Simple as that. Charlotte is nicknamed the Queen City because King George III named Charlotte Town after his wife, Queen Charlotte of Mecklenburg-Strelitz. And the county of Mecklenburg is named after the region of Germany that Queen Charlotte was born in. The more you know. Charlotte is a NASCAR hub. It hosts 3 of NASCAR's biggest events at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. Mouthful. The Coca-Cola 600, the Bank of America 500, and the NASCAR Sprint All-Star Race. And lastly, in terms of facts, Charlotte was home to the original Gold Rush of America in 1799. That's a massive, I think it was 17, if I remember rightly, 17-pound gold nuggets that was found, which is massive. So There you go. Laws wise, it's illegal to borrow your neighbor's dog in North Carolina, if you didn't know. It's illegal to sniff glue in Huntersville. Just Huntersville. Doesn't matter where else you do it, but it's illegal to sniff glue in Huntersville. It's against the law to not pay taxes on any illegal drugs you deal. I mean, I think they could have just stopped at it's illegal to deal drugs. But there you go. Stu could do with the gold nugget in the DC transfer budget. Yeah, we're really good. And it's illegal to serve alcohol at a bingo game. So for all you people who like a good old bingo game, you can't drink alcohol in North Carolina. There was one other one. Let me just try and find it because I found that one hilarious. I thought I lost you guys there for a second, but I didn't. Where are you? History. That one. That's the button I need. Right, okay. So, it's not on that profile. I have two Google Chrome profiles. Let's do that. Why do I look at so much stuff on the internet? Where are you? Oh God! Oh, I just sounded like what's her face? Delia Smith. Is it Delia Smith? Stu, tell me, is it Delia Smith? Who was? Let's be having you. Where are you? Strange laws about Charlotte. NT. Oh, Flemenek. Strange. Right, I'm doing a good old Google live here. Why would you borrow a dog unless it's a bloodhound and you're hunting for an unsung signing from the depths of Bolivia? Okay, I get it. Charlotte NC. Let's see if I can find. Is that the website? Ah, we've got some more strange ones. It's illegal to sing off key in North Carolina. It's illegal to swear in front of a dead body. It's illegal to hold an organized meeting wearing masks as well. A marriage can be ended if one is impotent. So I'm just reading some. It is illegal to steal kitchen grease. And it is illegal to ride your bike without using both hands, which you do see quite a bit over here in the UK. So there you go. That is illegal in North Carolina. There you go. That is the More You Know Charlotte edition. I know we went a bit, I know I went a little bit off tangent there. But, you know, that's what makes this podcast interesting and entertaining. Anyway, I'm mumbling on. So let's bring it back to the preview of this game this weekend against North Carolina, against Charlotte. So we need to continue this the positive attacking performance that we had against San Jose. Just add a trickle of a goal here and there in that as well. So can we turn it around in the Queen City? Will we become kings of the Queen City? Guess I went there. So we're at Charlotte FC, the Bank of America Stadium, where it's fake pitches, which is not great. So we need to be careful with our players. It was where Brendan Hines-Ike had his bad ankle injury, where he was ruled out for such a long time. So hopefully he is going to be okay this time around, because we'll need him this weekend. because Derek Williams is out injured as well. But I'll come on to that in a moment. So Saturday, 16th of September, 7:39 p.m. Eastern Time, 12:39 a.m. UK time. And it is on Apple TV for free this weekend. Woohoo! So anyone who's got Apple TV, access to Apple TV, can watch it for free. Hallelujah. So head-to-head wise, it's been 3 matches between the two teams altogether. 2 last year and 1 so far this year. So DC have won 2 games. Charlotte has won 1. And so far, each game between the two sides has ended up with the home team winning 3-0. That's it. That's the only result that's been so far is 3-0 to the home team, which is why we've won 2 and Charlotte's won 1, because we've played home twice against them. Charlotte have only played once at home. And then looking at it, so Charlotte have only lost 1 of its last 11 regular season home games, winning 4 and drawing 6. They did open the season with back-to-back home defeats, though. And then looking into it, the most recent form on that, 4 of the last 5 home matches have been draws. So they really are struggling on winning at home right now. We have avoided defeat in 3 of our last 5 away games, which is really good. But we've only scored twice in that time. And we've also failed to score in 16 of our last 27 away matches. So the majority of our away games, we're not scoring, which is not brilliant. Stu played on a nylon carpet, also known as AstroTurf, here in the UK only once, and it has formed the basis of nightmares ever since. Please just grow some grass. You might look at, I think it was in the NFL last weekend, someone... I don't follow NFL, so please forgive me on this one for not knowing the details inside and out. But someone had been ruled out for the rest of the year with an Achilles injury because of the fact that it's fake grass. If it was real grass, his ankle could have moved in a way that wouldn't have caused this injury. So, yeah, we need to... NFL needs to get rid of grass, which would be great for MLS because some teams still play in NFL stadiums. And it'll be just great. You look at Atlanta's stadium, the Mercedes-Benz. That is fake grass, but it is a soccer-specific stadium, even though it's shared with the Atlanta Falcons. So fake grass is not good at all. I've played on the 4G pitches, not named after the type of mobile network. It's just the 4th generation. And with all the little black pellets, it's just horrible. If you dive as a keeper, like I have, you dive to make a save, or if you slide tackle, you're going to know about it because you're going to feel the burn. It's just not nice. Not bad when it's had a little bit of rain on it, a little bit of moisture, because you can slide and roll around and make saves a little bit easier. But when it's been a hot day, it's just painful. Moving back to the game this weekend. So Charlotte have been using their subs wisely, shall we say, over the last few games. The last 3 goals that they've scored have all been by substitutes. With Scott Arfield scoring the last. And then moving back to DC-wise, we've kept back-to-back clean sheets again this season, but we've yet to keep 3 in a row since May, June of 2021. So it's been a couple of years since we've kept 3 clean sheets in a row. Be great if we could do that again, going into the Super 6 games remaining. I would love to see us tighten that defense again. We've had some good results this year. We've kept quite a few clean sheets, I feel. We just need to keep it going. Let's keep that momentum. So it would be nice to do that. Looking at the availability report. So DC, you've got a few players out this weekend. So you've got the season ending injury list of Rodriguez and Jayce. But you've also got Tyler Miller and Derek Williams out as well. And then questionable wise, you've got Steve Birnbaum, Andy Nahar and Ted Kudipietro as well. Oh, are questionable. I've not seen anything from Charlotte on the terms of their availability. Looking at their roster, they've got three DPs at the moment in terms of Enzo Capetti, Kamil Jozwiak, and Karol Sladerski. I know Enzo is a bit of a B-Tech Tati Castellanos in terms of his personality. He likes to throw himself around, has a bit of a moan. He's Italian. I think he's Italian. I'm going to have to... Can I quickly do a web search on... let me just find out. Enzo... Petti... He is Argentine, sorry, not Italian. But yeah, either way, he likes to have a good moan. So hopefully we don't have to deal with that too much. They do have a couple of players from the U22 initiative, but one player is out injured in Vinicius Mello. The other player being Carmen Vargas. And then they've got two generation Adidas players. I think it's the first time I've seen that in Ben Bender, who is from the local area. And Hamdi Diop, who's a defender. So what do I think do we need to do to win this game? Score a goal. That usually helps. So based on the fact that it's been difficult for us away from on the road, not scoring in 16 of our last 27, only scoring 2 in the last 5 on the road, we need to score goals. That's imperative. And we just need to continue like we have been playing against Chicago, against San Jose, the way we've been going, the fact that we switched back to a 4-back formation again after playing with 3 or 5 at the back for quite some time. We've just mixed it up a little bit, which has been great. It'd be interesting. Hopefully Ted's back. And he's not actually out for this game and he actually makes it to the team because he does make a heck of a difference. Because when you've got Voshi, Yamil Assad just isn't there. He's not quite up to that. He's not the Yamil that we had in 2018, who was brilliant for us. He's just not the same player like he was back then. He's the guy who usually is there to replace him, but hey-o. Ted needs to be there for us to stand a good chance of winning. But, you know, defensively, we've been fine. It could well be a draw this weekend based on Charlotte's recent form, the fact that we're not scoring goals, it could be a 0-0 draw again, which would be great from a defensive point of view, the fact that we'd be keeping a clean sheet yet again. But I would love for us to sneak a 1-0 win in this one to keep that momentum going. That would be 7 points in the last 3 games. That would be fantastic. Great momentum going into then the final 5. So we'll see what happens. Prediction-wise, let's go for a 1-0 win, shall we? Yeah, let's do it. Why not? So that's it for me in terms of the preview. I'd love to know again what you guys are thinking out there in terms of the fixture, what you think the scoreline is going to be this weekend. I'll give a final prediction as soon as the lineup comes out tomorrow night. So we'll see. Let's move on to some questions that have come in. So we've got a couple of questions in. Prior to the show going live, which was very last minute, so I do apologize about that. So first up is Brian, who asked, so with the new baby on the way, which DCU legend will you name your child after? Now, we're not going with knowing whether it's going to be a boy or a girl. I don't know that my wife will be happy with me saying that, but yeah, I've said it. So we're not going to know what gender is, but if we're going to go with a boy, if it's a boy, would it be Jaime, Marco, Raul, Eddie, Ben, or Luciano, or maybe even Wayne? We'd have to discuss that one first, I think. But I couldn't go Jaime because it's too close to my name. Can't do that. Marco, Mark, nah. Raul, don't mind that. That could be quite a cool name. Eddie, I'll be the same. It's close to one of my wife's uncle's names. Ben, don't mind Ben. Yeah, Ben's not a bad name. Luciano, could be an interesting one. And then Wayne. I don't think we'd go Wayne. Sorry, Wayne, if you're listening to the show, but I don't think we could name the kid after you. Just not really a common name these days, Wayne. Yeah, we'll see. We'll talk about it. And as soon as we know, we'll let you know. And then Kevin, who's also a DCUK member, so if you do want to come and join, just look in the show notes in the description. Click through, become a member. There's a free version, there's a paid version. Paid version gets you an exclusive t-shirt. So please do hit us up on that one. All proceeds go towards running the show and making everything cool within DC UK. But Kevin just says, wild thought, what if DC United replaced Dave Casper with Landon Donovan? MLS robbed him in San Diego Loyal out of an MLS place, and he's available after the 2023 season. Now that is a wild thought. Landon Donovan, the man with an award named after him. That could be an interesting proposition. Landon Donovan, who has been around the league for many, many years, has run a, I would say, a rather successful USL team in San Diego Loyal. Great culture at that club. Really frustrated for them because of the situation, the fact that they've gone to San Diego and chosen a brand new team rather than going with what's already been built there, I think is a bit of a kick in the teeth. So whether that means that Landon doesn't really want to be around the league after this, who would blame him? But if he's available, I would say so. Just looking at, let's have a look at the comments that are coming in. So Stu saying on the baby name, it has to be Jaime. Jamie is good for a boy or girl. Just be adding a Latino flourish. Yeah, that's true. Matt's just saying, hoping we don't see Dahomey and Asad Stan. We'd like to see Hopkins, Pirani, Kuda Pietro, and somehow both Nahar and Ruan on. Then 1-1. Okay. Let me just break that down a little bit. So I'm actually a little bit of a fan of Dahomey. I think he's done rather well in terms of getting out of the defense. Yes, he's not really had many assists or many goals. He's had a couple of goals. But I think if we have the flexibility to do so, I think if we could bring him on late on to the game when their players are starting to get a bit tired, I think that's probably a really key thing to be able to use that. But I think he will probably end up starting this one. But out of those, Hopkins, Pirani, Kuda Pietro, and I would go for either Ruan or Nahar at the back, and then the other one as the right attacking midfielder with Pirani on the left and Teddy in the middle. Or if Teddy's injured and he can't make it, then Pirani in the middle and Dahomey on the opposite side. Because then you've got pace, a lot of pace, and good bit of trickery from Nahar as well. So that would be very cool. Also, Matt's just saying, any thoughts on the Bruce Arena situation? Well, again, it feels like this is a common thing within MLS in terms of the lack of clarity. Because you look at the taxi situation, the first time he got accused of using a racial slur, there was no clarity on whether he actually did, whether he didn't, who heard what, who didn't hear. And it was just a messy and it took far too long to sort that one out. Then you look at the second time, and again, it's very similar. But this time, the club did cut ties with the player in hand. But again, it was taking too long, and we don't really know what's happened. We can only go on the basis of what actions happened there, which is actually better than nothing for once. And then the Bruce Arena situation. Well, we don't know who said what. We don't know what Bruce has said. Obviously, it's been bad enough for him to resign of the situation. But it feels a little bit like Richie's... we can speculate for days here, and we can't say exactly what's happened because we don't know. But Richie Williams is the guy who reported him. Is that sour grapes? Is that... Have they had a massive falling out and he said something that Bruce might have said something that he shouldn't have, and it wasn't said in the... It's just things might have been taken out of context. We just don't know. And that's the frustrating part, is there's been zero clarity on it. Now, I think it was Caitlin Carr. I think I know that's what her name is. Said something on Sirius, some radio station in America. That she shouldn't have said, and she got a bit of a rap for that. But again, it's just the fact that they're trying to hide everything and sweep things under the carpet. It's a bit suspicious. But yeah, the fact that Brucey's resigned over this does say a lot in terms of the seriousness of it. Now, going on the Discord group, there's been a lot of people were talking about bringing him back. Now, I don't agree with that. Because if you're having someone who's accused of saying something that's inappropriate or whatever, you can't do the same with Taxi, because the way they reacted with Taxi and they wanted him out, very similar situation with Brucey. You can't have one and not the other. You've got to be consistent. So, yeah. And with Bruce thing is, I heard somewhere that he has to have permission to work in MLS again from MLS themselves, which again, it says a lot actually, how serious it was. So yeah, that's my thoughts on it. Very confused. Don't know what the hell's happened. Nobody knows what happened. There's just no clarity. And I wish there was a lot more clarity, because that would just make life a lot easier. Stu, Nahar does his best work being able to push forward. Would love to see Nahar and Ruan rampaging down the right, swapping roles and confusing the heck out of the opposition. Absolutely. That would be amazing. So many former DCU players involved. Williams, Kurt and Alpha. God, yeah. Kurt's an Alpha. And now B taking over as coach. Oh. And I did read earlier on today as well that the coach of the women's team in New England has taken over the New England Revolution 2 team, even though there was allegations of misconduct against said person as well. So the controversy is not over in New England, let's put it that way. So thank you very much for those at the end. That was amazing. Cheers for that. Appreciate it. Let's wrap things up then with guest DC Who, and actually let's reveal who that player was. So let's bring them back up just there. So this player, let's just remind ourselves of the player, is born in Carrizal in Costa Rica. Made 97 appearances for the Black and Reds over three seasons. Has six caps for the Costa Rican team as well. Started off his career in Costa Rica playing for Belén before moving to Uruguay and then back to Belén again before moving to Saprissa and then following that moving stateside to DC United. And then here's the link to this weekend's opponents. He did play for Charlotte FC after he was picked up in the expansion draft, but he got waived in August. That player, as Matt said earlier on in the show, is Joseph Mora. So well done. Well done, Matt. I hope you've enjoyed today's show. Do remember, actually, all links, podcast sponsor, DC United Kingdom stuff, it's all in the show notes and in the description below. So please do hit us up. And as always, subscribe to the channel. Like this video if you're watching on YouTube. Feel free to leave any comments praising the show. And if you're listening on Spotify or in Apple Podcasts, please do leave a rating and a review as well of the podcast. That would be great. Let me know if whatever you think of the show, good, bad, ugly, what you think you want to see on the show moving forward. Feedback is always welcome. So let's hope we get 3 points in the Queen City tomorrow. Let's hope we make the playoffs and the running for the final end of the season. It's the Super Six remaining. But until next time, Vamos United. Whoa.